Older generations often want to teach life lessons to those that follow, mothers to daughters, fathers to sons, grandparents to grandchildren. Sometimes, though, those discussions break down and younger generations are left to fend for themselves.
There was all this euphoria around the 60s, and then we dropped the ball. And so we are living with the consequences now of having created that gap between historic moment in time and the lived experience of young African Americans now.
That's Chris Johnson. He's created a project that tries to bridge that gap. Question Bridge Black Males is a video art installation that features over 150 black men from 11 American cities and towns. The men are of varying ages, classes, and sexual orientations. They take turns asking and then answering questions on big life topics like love, family, and violence, all within the context of being a black man in America today. The project wants to promote constructive dialogue between black men and the rest of the nation, but also to break down limiting stereotypes about black male identity, internalized ideas that these men themselves often struggle with. Today, we'll be exploring the exhibit with its creator, Chris Johnson, and hearing a number of exchanges throughout the show. We'll start with this one, where participants Tony Brown, Julian O'Connor, Alex Morgan, and Ronald Porter answer a question posed by Anthony Trochet.
Growing up, I've seen black people who have made it out, either financially or educationally, change who they are. And so my question is, how has your financial success or your educational success compromised who you feel that you are on the inside for what you feel that people want you to be?
I'd have to say the first answer is that I feel like I've compromised my membership in the black community. And it's not because I left the community or the community left me, but it's as if there's a zero-sum game that the more successful a black man becomes, the less the community seems to embrace him. And it's also got a little bit to do with how that black man is defined by the non-black world. It's as if your success makes you other. An example of a conscious way that I did that is with a soul shake. I remember growing up in Dallas, Texas, and meeting my friends on the street. And you walk up to them and you give them a soul shake. I also remember the day that I stopped doing that on the courtyard in Harvard. I remember walking up to them instead of giving them a soul shake, giving them the corporate handshake. I remember walking through the hospital, the floors, and doing the same thing, being conscious that when I see my friends, I should just give them the corporate handshake. And you know, the disappointing thing was that one day, walking down the hall was a cardiothoracic surgeon who came up and soul shook me. The moral to the story is, don't try to be black, just be yourself. And by definition, you're black.
Imagine yourself being a knight and you're riding into battle. A knight has to put on his armor and a knight has to have his shield and sword. And for me, if you're going to go into a corporate environment, you can't go in a corporate environment the same way you would if you were going to your grandmother's house or if you were going to McDonald's or if you were just comfortable. There's a code and there's a shielding, a layer of protection that you need for all the harmful things that are going to be in all of those environments because they're equally treacherous. I just look at it as you have to be confident about who you are, know who you are, and just know that in certain environments, you have to dress a certain way. And the way that you speak is just about how relaxed you feel in those environments.
And I must say, it has not changed me at all. What has changed is people's perception of who I am and what I'm about. And what's in the black community has created a dilemma because we have the idea that for an individual who has succeeded is now not part of that community, but part of some other community that we believe we're not a part of.
On one hand, the reality is that when we get into these positions of power, we make people uncomfortable. So that's one thing on the one hand. On the other hand, in all different types of professions, there are certain things that you have to do in order to be successful. There are certain ways that you have to be. But there's a difference between adapting to different situations and being in a hostile environment because you are black. So I haven't changed who I am. I've gained new skills. I can adapt to many different situations, but I am still me. I am still me at the end of the day. And I'm not afraid to be that.
There's a thing in this world called maturity. It's something that's kind of undervalued in the black community today because people seem to be centered around this idea of what I call ghetto-centricity. That is, the ghetto is the center of all black expression, which is a very recent phenomenon and a very divisive one. Because the truth is, everyone evolves. No one stays the way they were when they were 18, 19, 20. If they did, they wouldn't be human. I don't know what they would be. As black people, as black men, we need to be in the process of evolution. It cannot be about, there's no ultimate blackness. There's no ultimate black street credibility. There's who you are then, what works for you at that moment, and then who you become next, and who you become next, and who you become next. You take everything that you've ever had, ever happened to you, and you keep adding on top of it. And that's life.